ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ हरे कृष्ण। टुडे आर रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 9 चैप्टर 22 द डिसेंडेंट्स ऑफ अजमीढ़ टेक्स्ट नंबर 16 ऑनवर्ड्स। एवमुक्तो द्विजयज्येष्ठम् चन्दयामास सोऽब्रवीत् तन्मन्त्री प्रहितैर्विप्रैर् वेदाद्विभ्रंशितो गिरा। एवं दस वेदवादातिवादन्वयि तदा देवो वर्षः देवापीर्योगमास्ताय कलापग्रामम् आश्रितः। ट्रांसलेशन्स एंड पर्पोर्ट बाय हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद। ट्रांसलेशन फॉर 16th एंड 17th। व्हेन द ब्राह्मणा सेड दिस महाराज शांतनु वेंट टू द फॉरेस्ट and requested his elder brother Devapi to take charge of the kingdom, for it is the duty of a king to maintain his subjects. Previously, however, Shantanu's minister Ashwavara had instigated some Brahmanas to induce Devapi to transgress the injunctions of the Vedas and thus make himself unfit for the post of ruler. The Brahmanas deviated Devapi from the path of Vedic principles, and therefore, when asked by Shantanu, he did not agree to accept the post of ruler. On the contrary, Devapi blasphemed the Vedic principles and therefore became fallen. Under the circumstances, Shantanu again became the king, and Indra, being pleased, showed reins. Devapi later took the path of mystic yoga to control his mind and senses and went to the village named Kalapagram, where he is still living. 18th and 19th verse, translation. After the dynasty of the moon god comes to an end in this age of Kali, Devapi, in the beginning of the next Satya Yuga, will re-establish the Soma dynasty in this world. From Bahalika, the brother of Shantanu, came a son named Somadatta, who had three sons named Bhuri, Bhurishrava, and Shala. From Shantanu, through the womb of his wife named Ganga, came Bhishma, the exalted, self-realized devotee and learned scholar. Text 20, translation. Bhishmadev was the foremost of all warriors. When he defeated Lord Parshuram in a fight, Lord Parshuram was very satisfied with him. But the semen of Shantanu in the womb of Satyavati, the daughter of a fisherman, Chitrangada, took birth, purport by Prabhupada. Satyavati was actually the daughter of Uparichara Vasu by the womb of a fisherwoman known as Matsya Garbha. Later, Satyavati was raised by a fisherman. The fight between Parshuram and Bhishma Dev concerns three daughters of Kashiraj, Ambika, Ambalika, and Amba, who were forcibly abducted by Bhishma Dev, acting on behalf of his brother Vichitra Virya. Amba thought that Bhishma Dev would marry her and became attached to him. But Bhishma Dev refused to marry her, for he had taken the vow of Brahmacharya. Amba therefore approached Bhishma Dev's military spiritual master Parshuram, who instructed Bhishma to marry her. Bhishma Dev refused, and therefore Parshuram fought with him to force him to accept the marriage. But Parshuram was defeated and he was pleased with Bhishma. The translation of the last verse: Bhishma Dev was the foremost of all warriors. When he defeated Lord Parshuram in a fight, Lord Parshuram was very satisfied with him. But the semen of Shantanu in the womb of Satyavati, the daughter of a fisherman, Chitrangada, took birth. Hare Krishna. Seek blessings from all the Vaishnava, assembled Vaishnavas here, especially Srinaji Prabhu. Speak something on this verse. The whole purport is nothing but a story from Mahabharata. So I decided not to give my own purport to this story, but I thought I will just read from Mahabharata this whole story of what actually happened in detail about this whole incident of Bhishma Dev. So today we'll be covering the glories of Bhishma Dev. Bhishma Dev's character is a well-known character amongst many Vaishnavas. But in the outside world, people always have a doubt why Bhishma ever fought against Pandavas if he was a devotee of Krishna. So we'll see how Srila Prabhupada deals with this question in the later part of our class. In the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, the definition of pure devotional service is given. Anyabhilashita shunyam jnana karma adyanavritam anukulyena krishna anushilanam bhaktir uttama. So basically, in the definition of pure devotional service, two important criteria are there. One is the bhakti should be unalloyed, should not be for some other personality, but for Krishna or Krishna's incarnations. So unalloyed is an important word in the usage of the term of bhakti. I was recently hearing a lecture of His Holiness Giriraj Maharaj on Nectar of Instruction, and he was speaking on this verse, and then he mentioned a very nice story of Srila Prabhupada connecting with this verse, Anyabhilashita Shunyam. He was mentioning that when Srila Prabhupada once came to Boston, Srila Prabhupada saw the shipping yard, or maybe some yard, where big containers were there. And then Prabhupada saw the word, unalloyed steel. So Prabhupada looked at all the devotees and said that they are advertising unalloyed steel and we are advertising unalloyed bhakti. So the difference is that the product is different, but actually we all are speaking about the same thing. Everyone wants unalloyed thing in their life. So our bhakti should also be unalloyed. So this is the first, one of the major symptoms of bhakti, which actually very in a hidden way was shown by Bhishma Dev, was he was an unalloyed devotee of Krishna. Second is, bhakti should be favorable and should give pleasure to Krishna. Not just pleasure to Krishna, but should be favorable. Srila Prabhupada mentions, Giriraj Maharaj was mentioning that, Srila Prabhupada says that when Kamsa, when Shishupal, when Dantavakra, and when Paundraka, they were fighting with Krishna, they were also pleasing Krishna. Krishna also wanted to fight. But their bhakti was not favorable. Their mood was to destroy Krishna. So the mood is important. For what, in which mood the activity is done. Then Giriraj Maharaj mentioned that how Yashoda, when she was churning the butter, and then Krishna came and demanded milk, and Yashoda was feeding milk to Krishna. And then we know that how the pot, the milk pot, which was burning on the stove, on the gas there. It overflowed. So Yashoda kept Krishna and ran for the milk pot. So Krishna was displeased. So apparently it looked like Yashoda had displeased Krishna. But Maharaj was mentioning, Giriraj Maharaj, that actually Yashoda was in the mood of rendering service to Krishna. That milk was for whom? It was for Krishna. So Yashoda was running for Krishna's property only. Krishna and Krishna's tadiya are non-different. So in this sense, the mood is important. So externally, a demon may give pleasure to Krishna by his fight, but his mood is not service. The mood should be service. That is very important. Giriraj Maharaj mentions very nice story that how Srila Prabhupada in his initial days in 1966, 67 something, there was one man who was trying to cheat ISKCON society. And Brahmananda Maharaj that time, Brahmananda Prabhu, he was involved in making a deal about a particular property which was supposed to be taken by ISKCON. And this gentleman, Mr. Price, his name was Mr. Price, and he was actually cheating devotees. And devotees were so simple that he did not understand. But Prabhupada could understand that this person is showing from external angle that he is wanting to serve us, but his internal motto is to gain money from us. So one time, Mr. Price called up Srila Prabhupada. So the phone rang, and Srila Prabhupada picked up the phone. And Mr. Price was on the other side, and he said, "I'm Mr. Price calling, Swamiji." And Srila Prabhupada was so happy. Prabhupada said, "Mr. Price, I'm constantly thinking about you." And then he went on speaking about with Mr. Price. And then when Prabhupada kept the phone down, all the devotees asked Srila Prabhupada, "Srila Prabhupada, are you really, you spoke to him that you're constantly thinking of Mr. Price. So you said like this only, or are you really sharing it from your heart?" So Prabhupada said, "Yes, I was constantly thinking of Mr. Price, just like Kamsa was thinking of Krishna." The mood was not service. The mood was that this fellow is trying to cheat us, and therefore we should avoid him. So Bhishma Dev's hidden devotional service could not be understood by external angles, by external eyes. We require purports of great acharyas. So from Mahabharata, if you go deeper in Mahabharata, we see that how externally Bhishma Dev was an other party, but there are external and internal reasons for why he was fighting on the side of Kauravas. So this particular story which is mentioned in the purport here is mentioned in the Mahabharata by Bhishma Dev himself. Before the battle began, and there was a conference in the Kaurava camp where Bhishma Dev was sitting as the leading in charge, and all the soldiers, they were ready, and the plans were supposed to be discussed. And Bhishma wanted to congratulate all the warriors who were on the side of Kauravas. So he started speaking duris of each of the warriors on the side of Kauravas. And he also later spoke on the glories of the warriors on the side of the Pandavas. So he mentioned that how, he mentioned first the glories of Dronacharya, that was such a great thing that Dronacharya was with them, who is a military guru of everyone, who is assembled in the battlefield, all the great Kshatriyas, the five Pandavas, Drishtadyumna, the commander of the other army, plus 100 sons of Dhritarashtra. So he was saying that we are very fortunate to have Dronacharya. And then he mentioned the glories of Duryodhan. And then he told that, then when he spoke, started speaking about Karna, then he said, "Well, Karna is glorious, but I will not rate him fully as a great warrior. I will call him as Adhirati, half warrior." So Duryodhan became angry. Why Bhishma is calling Karna as half Rati or half warrior? So Bhishma said that, well, he has power. He can even defeat Arjuna. But he has been cursed by his guru that when he will require his power the most, his power will not work. So Bhishma said, therefore I call him half Rati, because when he wants it, he will not be able to use it. So Karna became very angry and he walked out of the assembly. And then Bhishma mentioned the glories of all of the Kauravas. And then he went to the Pandavas side and mentioned the glories of all the Pandavas. And he told Duryodhan that especially because Krishna is there, Duryodhan, you will have very less chance. In fact, you will have no chance because Krishna is on the other side. And then I was speaking about other glories of other warriors. Bhishma especially spoke about Shikhandi as Maharathi. So everyone was shocked that how this Shikhandi can be a Maharathi and how it can be a danger that Bhishma is speaking about Shikhandi. So they had a question, and seeing that question in their mind, Bhishma spoke about who Shikhandi was. So from the lips of Bhishma, the whole story of Shikhandi is given in the Mahabharata. So Bhishma mentions that how when he was born as Devavrat to Ganga through Shantanu Maharaj, it is mentioned that when Ganga had left Shantanu, because that was the rule she had put, that if Bhishma, if Shantanu does not allow Ganga to drown the children, then Ganga will leave. So the first 7 children were drowned by Ganga, but the 8th was kept. Shantanu Maharaj did not have the heart to see the 8th child also getting drowned. So then Ganga, she left Shantanu Maharaj. She even took the child also with her. And she later came and gave the child back after the child was well trained and young. Meanwhile, Shantanu Maharaj once went for a hunting excursion, and then he happened to see Satyavati, and he became attached to her. So he went and went to Satyavati's house. Satyavati was born to, was raised in a fisherman's family. So when he went there and he asked for the hand of, went to the fisherman and asked for the hand of his daughter, that time the fisherman kept a very strange proposal. He said that, I have known from the astrological chart of my daughter that she will bear children who will become emperor of the world. But then he mentioned that, but I see that you are already married and you have kids from the first wife. So what is the guarantee that if you marry my daughter, her children will become the emperors? So you promise me that you make my daughter's children as the emperor of the whole world later. Shantanu Maharaj did not have that heart, so he went back. But he was constantly thinking of Satyavati, and that kept him depressed. So Devavrat, he came to know that his father was not happy, upset. So he went and asked his father, what was the reason for his sadness? And then he revealed that this was the reason. So Devavrat went and he asked the fisherman that, you please, you don't know what you are rejecting. Your daughter, who is a fisherwoman now, she will become the emperor of, she will be empress, she will become the queen of the entire world by marrying Shantanu, my father. So then he said, well, I don't mind, but this is a proposal. So when Devavrat hears that proposal, he says, okay, I'll promise you that the children of your daughter will become emperor of the whole world. But then the fisherman, he said that, you may promise now, but what about later? Tomorrow you may have kids, and after you go away, and then Satyavati's kids are there, they'll fight. And they will have a quarrel about who will be the king of the whole world. So then this Devavrat took a vow that time. He shouted loudly that, if you feel that I am an obstacle to this marriage, then I take a vow that I will never marry, and in this way there won't be any generation from my dynasty, and thus Satyavati's children will become the emperor of the whole world. When he made that solemn vow, it is mentioned the demigods showered flowers on this personality. And because he made such a powerful vow, for a Kshatriya to not marry, therefore it's called as Bhishma Vow. And therefore his name became from that day onwards as Bhishma Dev. When Shantanu Maharaj heard this, he was not happy. But he was very proud of his son, that his son has sacrificed his own life for his purpose. So therefore he gave the boon to his son, Bhishma Dev, that unless you decide to die, you will not die. So that was the boon which Bhishma Dev got, and that kept him, gave him a long life to live even till the battle of Kurukshetra, even though others had already left the planet, they already died. So it is mentioned Satyavati, in due course of time, she gave birth to 2 children, Chitrangada and Vichitravirya. Chitrangada was a very handsome, beautiful prince and very powerful warrior. Now his glory was such a unique glory that glory is even reached heavenly planets. And there was a Gandharva whose name also was Chitrangada in heaven. And he became very confused, because people are speaking about Chitrangada in heaven, but they were not speaking about him. They are speaking about some Chitrangada in the earthly realm. So that created a little enmity in him. He said, who is Chitrangada? Who is overshadowing my glory, you know? So he came down and challenged Chitrangada, the son of Satyavati. And that fight lasted for a long time. And finally, because he was from Gandharva race, he had a strong body. It is mentioned in the Mahabharata that he was able to defeat and kill Chitrangada, Satyavati's first son. So in this, Chitrangada was killed without even marrying or procreating a son. And the only heir left now in the kingdom was Vichitravirya. So Vichitravirya now was of marriageable age. And it is mentioned that Bhishma Dev decides that now Vichitravirya should get married. So that time Bhishma Dev hears about a wonderful Swayamvar which was going to take place in the kingdom of Kashi. The king of Kashi had three daughters, Amba, Ambika and Ambalika. And they were going to select their own husbands. So Bhishma Dev thought that these ladies are from a very good family, very beautiful, and they will be best for my brother Vichitravirya. So he went to the kingdom of Kashi when the Swayamvar was going on, and in front of everyone he announced, those who had come for a Swayamvar, that I am going to carry all these three girls, and if you want to challenge me, you can challenge. And in this way, without any further discussion, Bhishma Dev just carried all the three ladies and put them on the chariot and just drew the chariot. Bhishma Dev carried all three girls because he did not know which girl Vichitravirya will like. So let me carry all three girls. So that was Kshatriya. Kshatriya does not much think. He just acts. So while he was carrying, taking these ladies on his chariot, all the prince and those who kings who were assembled, they all followed Bhishma Dev and they attacked Bhishma Dev. But Bhishma Dev very dexterously defeated all of them and they stayed back. They could not follow Bhishma Dev. There was one king who had come who continued to follow Bhishma Dev, and that was Shalva. Now, Shalva was continuing to follow Bhishma Dev because there was a reason for it. Shalva had already, the decision was taken that he would marry one of the girls, Amba. So therefore he was trying his best to get Amba back at least. But Bhishma Dev even defeated Shalva. And to avoid killings in this Swayamvar ceremony, he just made him just escape with his life. So when he came back, when he came to his kingdom, that time Amba disclosed the whole secret, that how it was already organized, the Swayamvar was there, but my father had agreed and I wanted to marry Shalva, and Shalva also had agreed to marry me. So everything was ready, and then you come and you abduct me and take me. So now what should I do? So Bhishma was confused, now what to do? So Bhishma, it is mentioned that he had a discussion with all the Brahmanas in his kingdom, and they all agreed that Amba should be very respectfully sent back to Shalva, and she should marry Shalva. So with great pomp and gaiety and everything, when all the Brahmanas, priests chanting, with lot of wealth, Amba was duly, respectfully sent to Shalva's kingdom. But when she reached Shalva's kingdom, Shalva welcomed her, but he refused to accept her hand. He said that, I was defeated by Bhishma Dev, therefore I can't accept you. You have been touched by some other man. So therefore you go back to the same person who kidnapped you. He will accept you. I can't accept you. So now Bhishma had told him to go to marry Shalva, and Shalva had rejected him. So what was the chance for her? Where should she go? So she was sobbing, and in a crying mood, she came to a lonely place in the forest where there are a lot of hermits. And she sat down and she was sobbing the whole night. The morning when the sages woke up, they saw this lady crying alone here. And they asked what was the reason. And the Amba mentioned about the whole incident, that how Bhishma had kidnapped, and then Bhishma had sent her to Shalva. Shalva rejected. So the rishis told that if you want, we'll convince Shalva to marry you. And if you want, we'll also convince Bhishma to marry you. What do you want? Tell us. We have the power. We are rishis. He said, I don't want to do anything. I just want to do tapasya. I'm just insulted. So the rishis and sages, they're also upset. So then the leader of the sage rishis, Hotravahan, he was not there in the assembly. So when he came, the matter was presented to Hotravahan, that how Amba can be again given protection. She has to be protected by some elderly male, but now she is unprotected. There is no husband, neither there is no father. So what should be done? So Hotravahan also was very angry, but he knew that he was going to deal with very powerful people, Shalva and भीष्मदेव. सोत्रवन ही टोल्ड अंबा दैट दिस मैटर कैन बी ओनली सॉल्व बाय द गुरु ऑफ भीष्मदेव. व्हेन वी अप्रोच गुरु ऑफ भीष्मदेव परशुराम देन ही कैन सॉल्व दिस मैटर. सो जस्ट देन इट इज मेंशन इन महाभारत दैट परशुराम एक्चुअली कम्स टू द हर्मिट ऑफ होत्रवान एंड द होल मैटर इज प्रेजेंटेड टू हिम. सो परशुराम बिकम्स वेरी मच कंपैशनेट ऑन अंबा एंड ही आस्ट व्हाट डू यू वांट मी टू डू. यू वांट मी टू फोर्स शल्व टू मैरी यू और यू वांट मी टू फोर्स भीष्म टू मैरी यू. व्हाट डू यू वांट. बाय दिस टाइम अंबा वॉज सो इंसल्टेड एंड शी फेल सो एंग्री शी टोल्ड परशुराम आई वॉन्ट यू टू किल भीष्म. सो परशुराम ऑल्सो वॉज शॉक दैट मैरिंग इज सम अदर बिजनेस हैज गॉन अवे नाउ शी वॉन्ट्स टू किल भीष्म. सो एनी परशुराम वेंट अलॉन्ग विद अंबा टू द किंगडम ऑफ हस्तिनापुर एंड ही टोल्ड भीष्म टू एक्सेप्ट अंबाज हैंड और इधर विचित्र वीर शुड एक्सेप्ट अंबाज हैंड. So Bhishma said, first of all, I cannot accept her hand because I have taken a lifelong brahmacharya vow. And secondly, Vichitravira also cannot accept her hand because she has already given her heart to someone else. So as per Kshatriya codes, it's not fitting that she can come back to her kingdom. She should either go back to father or Shalva. So Parashuram became very much angry. He said, if I have given protection to this lady and if you don't get married to this lady, either you or Vichitravira, then I will have to fight with you. So Bhishma said, I want to keep my vows. I'm ready to fight. So they decide to fight. And from Hastinapur, they both go to Kurukshetra. So now they're both ready face to face, ready to fight. It is mentioned that Mother Ganga, when she came to know that her son Bhishmadev is about to fight with his own guru, Parashuram, who is undefeatable. So she comes and pleads Bhishma to forget all the vow and get married. That will be good for you. So Bhishma says, I cannot. I'll die, but I'll not marry her. And then she goes to Parashuram to try to convince him that ultimately he is your shishya, he is your disciple. Do some justice to him. So Parashuram also is very angry. He doesn't care for any lady to come and give instructions to him at this time when he is already thinking of fighting with Bhishmadev. So it is mentioned, Bhishmadev, he sees Parashuram standing on the ground. And Bhishma is on a chariot. So Bhishma tells Parashuram, if you want, I can provide you a chariot and a horse. And I also give you armor because I want to fight equally with you. And Parashuram just laughs at him and says, Earth is my chariot. And Vedas are my horses. And wind is my rein. Wind is my reins. And this way, the fight is about to begin. Just before the fight, Bhishmadev sees that by the mystic siddhi of Parashuram, a divine chariot appears and Parashuram sits on that chariot with a beautiful armor. Bhishmadev is enamored by the whole thing that how I am fighting, going to fight with not an ordinary person, my own guru and plus such a powerful personality. So Bhishmadev climbs from his chariot and goes and offers obeisance to Parashuram. Parashuram becomes very happy and Parashuram asks, what do you want? And Bhishma says, please bless me victory. So Parashuram says, because you have come, I will not curse you. If you have not come, I would have, before fighting, would have cursed you and killed you. But because you have come and you offered obeisance to me as your guru, I will not curse you. But neither I will fulfill your benediction. Your boon is that you should be victorious. I can't do it because I have given a promise to Amba. Either I will get her married to you or kill you. So forget everything. I am not going to fulfill any of your boons. But since you have asked me for victory, I can tell you, I can guide you some tips. And that is, you fight patiently. Don't give up. And victory will be yours. So the fight began in the Kurukshetra. And it is mentioned the fight was such a powerful fight. That's at one time, Parashuram would severely defeat Bhishmadev. Bhishmadev would fall from his chariot. But again, he would regain his consciousness and again he would fight. And sometimes Bhishma would charge on Parashuram so much, Parashuram would fall from his chariot. So this was going on, falling down, then regaining consciousness, but keeping on fighting. 23 days of battle were over. Especially on the 23rd day, Parshuram fought with double vigor. And because of this fight, it is mentioned that his arrows were piercing the body of Bhishma Dev. And one arrow hit Bhishma Dev in such a way that he was thrown 50 paces away and he lost his consciousness. And everyone cried joys of victory on the side of Parshuram. However, while he was lying unconscious, Bhishma Dev was attended by some divine personalities. 8 divine Brahmanas from some other planets had come and they put water on the face of Bhishma Dev and again made him regain his consciousness. And then they told him, don't worry, keep fighting. You will be victorious. Destiny is on your side. So Bhishma got up again. You don't know who these people were, 8 Brahmanas. So he got up and he fought. And when he fought, it is mentioned, Parshuram was utterly defeated. So Parshuram also feeling, how this vigor has come in this personality. So the day ended, the sun set. In the night, Bhishma Dev was mourning in agony for all the pains he received on that day because of Parshuram's valiant fight. And he was thinking that how long this battle will go on. For Parshuram, it's unending, he can go on. But what about me? I can't. So then he intensely prayed to the gods for help. And again, these 8 divine Brahmanas came and told that tomorrow you'll be victorious. How? In your past life, Bhishma Dev, you were given a weapon by Vishwakarma. That weapon was called as Prashvapa missile. Prabhupada says, Mahabharata says Prashvapa missile weapon. And this Prashvapa missile will never lose its aim. So therefore, tomorrow you invoke this Prashvapa missile. This is the missile, they gave him the missile, the arrow. And you invoke this missile and you shoot this missile. Parshuram will be defeated by this missile, though this missile cannot kill him. This missile will hit Parshuram and he will become unconscious. And no one can make him regain his consciousness unless you invoke another weapon. And the other weapon was given to him called as Sambodhana. You take this weapon and by this weapon then you can revive his consciousness. So in this way you will always win the battle. This way you will win the battle. So the next day the fight again began. And almost in the noon time, then Bhishma thought, now the time has come. And Bhishma invoked the Prashvapa missile. When that missile came in the hand of Parshuram, in the hand of Bhishma Dev, it is mentioned all the demigods in the sky, they shouted loudly at Bhishma Dev, do not use this weapon, do not use this weapon. Even Narad Muni came and he said, hey, he is your guru, please do not use this weapon on him. When Parshuram saw the Prashvapa weapon in the hands of Bhishma, he got down from his chariot, kept his bow and offered obeisance to the weapon. Just then Jamadagni came, the father of Parshuram, and told Parshuram that why you are fighting so much with this personality here? You don't know? Even if you try your best, you cannot kill him. You cannot pursue him to marry because he has taken a strange vow. Plus, you cannot kill him also because it is already ordained. Brahmaji has spoken that this personality can only be killed in future by Indra's son, who will be Arjuna. So why you are just fighting so long when everything is already ordained? So best will be stop the fight. So the fight was stopped. And Parshuram became very happy with Bhishma and he gave him blessings. And then Parshuram turned to Amba and he told Amba that, you see, I tried my best. But I couldn't get you married. So if you want, you can go anywhere you want. But sorry, I can't do anything for you. So in this way, Parshuram was defeated by his own disciple, Bhishma Dev. Now, it is mentioned that Amba was in a fully revengeful mood now. Someone like Parshuram even could not help Amba now. So now she became so angry that she decided that she will herself gain powers to kill Bhishma. So she decided to become an ascetic and go and do tapasya. So Bhishma Dev knew that Amba will be doing something in future. So Bhishma Dev kept some spies. And the spies had an eye on Amba, what she was doing. And then Bhishma would get regular reports of what Amba is now doing latest. So it is mentioned Amba, she went to the banks of Yamuna. And there, she stood she kept standing for one complete year without taking any water, any food, raising her hands in the sky, just so that she could get power from asceticism. After 1 year was over, then she broke her fast with single dry leaf. Hare Krishna. Next Sunday is Pandavanija Ekadashi. We'll break our fast by single dry papad along with khichdi and some lemon limbu sharbat. But she broke her fast by single dry leaf. Then the next 12 years, she stood waist deep in waters of Yamuna. And then it's mentioned after 12 years were over, she came out of Yamuna. She had got a glow of asceticism in her body. And to get more power, she started traveling all over different places. While traveling, Amba came to the banks of Ganga. And then Amba was taking bath in Ganga. At that time, Ganga personified Mother Ganga came out and asked Amba, why you are performing so much asceticism? Why are you performing so much tapasya? And Amba said, I want to kill Bhishma Dev. So Ganga is the mother of Bhishma Dev. So she became so angry, she cursed Amba. You want to kill my own son? I curse you that you will become a terrible river which will have no water apart from rainy season. And you will be so terrible that only crocodiles and fierce aquatics will inhabit your waters. Cursed in this way, Amba, she did not deter from her determination. She just kept on walking. And walking, she came to a place called Vatsa Bhumi. As soon as she reached Vatsa Bhumi, the curse took action. But because Amba had such a power of asceticism in her life, the curse could not fully convert her into a river. Half of her body became river, but half of her body remained. And with the half of her body, she continued doing tapasya. The rishis and sages living in that Vatsa Bhumi became so amazed by the determination of this lady that they became very happy and they came and gave consultation to her that how she can achieve her aim. She told Amba that if you want to perform austerity to Lord Shiva. And then what you want, you will get from Lord Shiva. So it mentioned that she performed austerity and tapasya to invoke the blessings of Lord Shiva for a very long time. And then Lord Shiva was very pleased. And Lord Shiva came and told that what you want will be granted. Yes, in this life you are not able to slay Bhishma. But in the next life, you will be able to slay Bhishma. You will be the reason for Bhishma's death. And in the next life, you will be born as a man. However, when you will be born as a woman. And then you will become a man later. And how this will happen? This will be revealed to you in due course of time. In your next life, you will remember all the details of your previous birth also. And this way, Lord Shiva, he went away. Then Amba, knowing that now she had to wait for her to leave the body. But she was so determined, she was so impatient. She herself arranged for a big pyre, burning pyre. And shouting loudly, chastisement of Bhishma, she entered into the fire. And this way, she left her body as Amba. Mahabharata mentions, Bhishma Dev tells this whole story, that in the next life, this Amba was born as first a woman. Now what happened is Drupada, who is the father of Draupadi, who became father of Draupadi later. Drupada was childless. He wanted a child. So he, along with his wife, performed great tapasya to Lord Shiva. So Lord Shiva became very happy and pleased and told that I will give you a son. You will soon get a son who will be Maharathi. He will be a great warrior and his name will be known in the whole world for ages to come. But your son will be initially born as a daughter. And in due course of time, the gender will change. So Drupada was very happy that Lord Shiva at least has given him a child who will be Maharathi. That itself was a great glory for him. So the child was born. The child was a lady, a daughter, a female child. Now Drupada was thinking, what should I announce to the kingdom? A child is daughter or child is a son? So he was very confident that Lord Shiva's boon has to take place. Someday the child will change gender. So in the whole kingdom it was announced that a son was born to King Drupada. And the whole kingdom, apart from Drupada and Drupada's wife, no one knew that the child born was a daughter. who in due course of time will become son. But when, no one knows. So she was, this girl was raised by the parents in a secret, hidden way, but trained as an archer to be a Kshatriya. So she was trained as in archery, and she became a Maharathi. This lady became a Maharathi. Her name was Shikhandi. But the time went on and nothing happened much. So now the parents are worried. What's happening? Lord Shiva's moon is not taking place. So it is mentioned that when the child became of marriageable age, so they're thinking what to do now to get the child married now. So Drupada was so confident, he decided that he will marry his daughter to a girl. And he will not reveal anything to the king whose daughter he is marrying his Shikhandi to. So Drupada, he arranged the marriage of Shikhandi, who was still in the body of a female, with the daughter of Hiranyavarman, a very big king. So when the marriage was performed, it is mentioned that Shikhandi, she also knew very well that soon she will take the body of a male, and then she will be the cause of the death of Bhishma Dev. So it is mentioned that she knew that now she is in female body, but tomorrow she will become male. But when? That is the question. So she came in the marriage ceremony externally perfectly acting like a male. And acting like a male, the whole marriage was done and everything went smooth. But some days later, the daughter of Hiranyavarman, she came to know that I was married to a lady and not a man. So she became so angry, she immediately wrote a letter to her father that, what is this? They cheated us. You married me to her. Now, Drupada could not say anything to anyone because that was a top secret, you know. Only Lord, apart from Lord Shiva and the family, you know, the couple knew that. So Hiranyavarman became so angry on this. Such an insult to me, you know. They're marrying my daughter to his daughter, you know, Drupada's daughter. So he took his army and was charging on the kingdom of Drupada. Now Drupada was thinking what should happen. He didn't want to fight Hiranyavarman and defeat him because it was his mistake actually. So he went to and he prayed to Lord Shiva for help. Lord Shiva, please do something. What's happening here, you know? Meanwhile, when Shikhandi came to know that this whole thing is happening and now it will be revealed to the whole world that Shikhandi is not a male but a female, Shikhandi was the one who was the affected party most because she was the one who was in the previous life Amba. But she became disgusted and Shikhandi left the kingdom and Shikhandi went to a forest. And she decided that I will continue tapasya lifelong and not come out of it and die here only. So when she entered the forest, in the forest, midst of a dense forest, she saw a beautiful palace, white marble palace. So she was shocked how palace can come in the forest. So she entered the palace and there was no one in the palace. So she decided that I will perform tapasya in this palace here. And she started performing tapasya. Just then it is mentioned that this palace belonged to a yaksha who was a very close associate of Kuvera. This yaksha's name was Stuna. So Stuna came and he was impressed that this lady coming from a royal family is performing tapasya in the palace. So he could understand there is some problem with this lady, she was not happy. So he asked her, what is the problem she is facing? And then Shikhandi had to reveal the whole thing, what happened. So the yaksha said, hey, don't worry, I have a lot of powers. I am the associate of Kuvera. So right now the immediate problem is that Hiranyavarman is going to come to your kingdom and attack. So I have a mystic siddhi. We can change our genders. I will take your gender, I'll become female, and you become male. You go, and then by seeing you, Hiranyavarman will be convinced that his daughter was married to a male and not a female. And then when he goes away, then you can again come, and then we again change our gender, and then and then naturally when it happens later, Lord Shiva's benediction takes place, then that time you'll become male again. So then a temporary arrangement was made. Yaksha, he now was hiding in his palace as a female. And Shikhandi as a male went. And Hiranyavarman came. And then when Shikhandi proved that he was male, Hiranyavarman was very happy. He chastised his daughter. And he went back to his kingdom. Shikhandi was very happy that the matter was at least solved now. So Shikhandi came back. Meanwhile, when Shikhandi was in the kingdom there, it is mentioned, Kuvera, along with associates, was visiting all different centers of his. So Kuvera came to this place, this forest. And then he saw that no one is you know, responding to his call. He said, Hari Bol, where are you? Suna. And Suna is not replying. Because Suna was afraid, because now he is the body of a female. So he is inside the palace hiding. So Kuvera says, go and see. So all the followers go inside. And then Suna reveals to the followers what happened. So finally, Suna had to come out in the form of female in front of Kuvera. When Kuvera hears this, the story that how he had changed his genders for some time, Kuvera became disgusted. He said, you have completely destroyed the reputation of our Yaksha race. What is this? What kind of help is this? You change your gender. So he said, because you've done such a mistake, I curse you. You remain like this throughout your life. Meanwhile, Stuna became very confused what happened suddenly. In the database, from male he became female. So the followers of Kuvera were very compassionate on their god-brother, now god-sister. So they approached Kuvera and said, please do something. He has not made such a big mistake that for whole life you made him a female, you know. So Kuvera said, okay, till Shikhandi dies, this Suna will remain a female. And as soon as Shikhandi dies, then he will get back his male form. So now Shikhandi comes back to come and duly change the gender. But then Suna tells that this is the curse which I got from Kuvera. So I feel it's a destiny. The gender change was supposed to be with us, with me only, not someone else. So now you go back and you fulfill the aim of your life, the purpose of your life. So in this way, Bhishmadev tells the whole story of that, how this Shikhandi, who is now in the body of a male, will be the cause of my death. Bhishma said that I have taken a vow that I will never fight against any ladies, any woman. What to speak of woman? I will not fight even against a person who has the name of a woman. Or not even fight with someone who resembles a woman. That is my vow. So therefore, the only way I can be killed is Arjuna will kill me through the vaya medium of Shikhandi. So this secret was revealed by Bhishma before he, even the battle began to all the Kauravas. So it is mentioned that during the Mahabharata war, when the Mahabharata was about to begin, the conch shells were blown and Yudhishthir Maharaj, he climbed down from his chariot and he went to the Kuru elders and asked everyone for blessings. So Bhishmadev was so happy. Bhishmadev said, actually I was waiting for you to come here. I knew you will come to ask for blessings. If you had not come, then I would have killed all of you, the entire army in one day. That was the capacity of Bhishmadev. So then Yudhishthira Maharaj offered obeisances and Bhishmadev said, maybe you will be successful. Vijay Bhava, you will be victorious. So Yudhishthira was very happy that Bhishma, who is the most formidable enemy in the whole Kaurava race, is saying that you will become victorious. Then he goes to Dronacharya and Dronacharya says, okay, you will be victorious. And everyone who is the major army general in the army of Dhritarashtra and in the army of Duryodhan, they all give blessings to Yudhishthira Maharaj that you will be victorious. So Yudhishthira Maharaj comes back and the fight begins. Now Bhishma was many times instigated by Duryodhan. So Bhishma had given a word to Duryodhan that every day he would kill 10,000 soldiers of Pandavas. That was a vow Bhishma had taken. Just because Duryodhan would regularly instigate him that you are very, very, very much, you are very soft towards Pandavas. So the fight progressed and it is mentioned that day by day the Pandavas were losing many people and a time came when it is mentioned that Duryodhan one day instigated Bhishma to such an extent that Bhishma decided to kill Pandavas the next day. And invoked five arrows. And the story of five arrows goes like this, that how when the five arrows were kept for five Pandavas, Duryodhan thought that, let me keep the five arrows with me. Because if it is with Bhishma, then he might either give it to someone else. So Duryodhan kept the five arrows. Meanwhile, Krishna told Arjuna, reminded him that Duryodhan had once promised you that whatever you want, I will give you. So now this is the time to take from him. Go and take these five arrows from him. Because if you take these five arrows, then tomorrow you will not be killed. So the five arrows were taken. It is mentioned that the morning when Bhishma asked Duryodhan, where is the five arrows? And Duryodhan told, well, Arjuna came and took it. So Bhishma smiled and told Duryodhan, I told you, these five arrows can kill Pandavas only if Krishna wills. If Krishna does not will, then I cannot. But still Bhishma told, still today I take a vow. Today I will fight in such a vigor that either Arjuna will be killed or Krishna has to lift a weapon against his vow to protect Arjuna. And then we know that the whole battle began that day and Bhishma was terribly fighting with all the Pandavas. And the time came when Arjuna was completely without any weapons and Bhishma picked up his most powerful weapon about to kill Arjuna. And then Krishna could not see that. Krishna came down from his chariot, took the chariot wheel and charged at Bhishma. And Bhishma saw that. Bhishma just threw his weapons down and was ready to be killed by Krishna. So this happened. And that night, when the sun set, that night, it is mentioned Yudhishthir Maharaj, they were discussing in the camp that unless Bhishma is there, how are we going to win this battle? It's not possible. So Krishna said that if you want, I will kill Bhishma. Because whoever is Pandava's enemy is my enemy. So I will kill Bhishma tomorrow. But then he said that why should I kill? Because Arjuna is capable of killing Bhishma. So let Arjuna kill Bhishma. And then Yudhishthira Maharaj said, maybe I should go to the camp of Bhishmadev. And he had told me that I will be victorious. So I will go and ask him how I can be victorious. So Krishna told, yes, we should go and ask him how we will die in specifically. So in this way, Krishna, along with all the five Pandavas, without any arms, in the night they went to the camp of Bhishmadev. And they asked him, how Bhishmadev, you told us that we'll be victorious, but unless you are there, how can we gain victory? There is no possibility. And you got a vow. You also have this benediction of dying by your own will. So how we can bring about your death? Because unless you are killed, we cannot win. Then Bhishma reveals the whole story again and tells that how you have amongst us one personality who can be the cause of my death, and that is Shikhandi. So tomorrow you bring Shikhandi in front of me. When Shikhandi comes, I will not fight. As soon as I put my weapons down, I don't raise my weapons. As long as I have my weapons in my hand, no one can defeat me. But as soon as I put my weapons down, then Arjuna can easily defeat me. So the next day, battle began. And this time, on this day, it is mentioned that the whole formation of Pandava and Arava was arranged such a way that on the front, in the front was Shikhandi in the formation. And next to Shikhandi, in the next two chariots were one side Arjuna and the other side Bhima. So they were very focused. The Shikhandi should only concentrate on Bhishmadev. And while concentrating on Bhishmadev, Arjuna should take advantage of that and should fight with Bhishmadev. Meanwhile, Bhima should help fighting others who will come and obstruct Arjuna or Shikhandi in this way. So that was very cleverly planned, the whole thing. But still, the whole battle was very difficult. Many times, when Shikhandi came in front of Bhishmadev did not even look at Shikhandi. He started fighting with someone else. But Shikhandi was throwing weapons, arrows on Bhishma, and that was hurting Bhishmadev, but he could not do because he had taken a vow not to even raise weapons against Shikhandi. Arjuna took opportunity and he fought with Bhishma, but many times the Kauravas would come to help Bhishma. So the fighting went on for a long time. Nothing was coming. And finally, a chance came for Shikhandi, and he came and challenged Bhishmadev. And Bhishmadev saw Shikhandi challenging. So that time Bhishma kept his arms down. And Arjuna took advantage and started showering arrows on Bhishma. And it is mentioned that Arjuna took advantage of this position. He took 20 arrows together. He bended his Gandiva fully. And then he shot all those 20 arrows together. It mentioned that arrows were shot in such a way that each arrow had a space of only two fingers. And each of these arrows went and hit and pierced the body of Bhishmadev. And Bhishmadev was hurt by these 20 arrows, just leaving two space of space between two arrows on his body. It is mentioned that Bhishma fell from his chariot headlong and landed on the ground. It is mentioned that he did not touch the ground because the arrows became like a bed for him and his head was facing the east side. It is mentioned that when everyone came to that Bhishma has fallen down on the ground, the whole Kaurava army raised a cry. When Drona came to know, Dronacharya, he was fighting somewhere else, that Bhishma has fallen down. That was such a difficult thing for him to digest that he fainted on the ground, unconscious. He could not take it. Meanwhile, in the Pandavas' camp, there was a lot of jubilation and joy. Bhimsen started dancing wildly because he knew now there is a chance that he can fulfill his vows. Because still Bhishma was there, there is no chance of even gaining victory. But Arjuna was a little sober. He was not dancing, he was very sober. So he came with Krishna very close to Bhishma Dev, Bhishma Pitam. And then he offered obeisance to Bhishma Dev and he asked, any last instruction for me, what I can do for you? It is mentioned that Bhishma was very happy with Arjuna and he told that you offered me a very nice bed. But the problem is, my head is still hanging. You have not offered me a good pillow. So immediately Arjuna took two more arrows and straight hit near the head of Bhishma Dev. And with his two arrows, he gave pillow also to Bhishma Dev. So Bhishma Dev got those two arrows as a pillow. He was very happy. He said, you know exactly what I want. And therefore you have given me arrows as pillow. Now, later it is mentioned that Bhishma Dev was feeling very thirsty. So he asked, give me some water. So immediately Duryodhana and his party, they arranged for water. They went and told everyone, get some nice cool water for him to cool down. And all the physicians also were called with Duryodhana to apply balm to Bhishma Dev's body. But Bhishma Dev rejected both the water and also the physicians. He said, I don't want this. I will not take anything which is human now, even by human beings. And he told Arjuna, I want water from your hands. And immediately Arjuna took a Prajani weapon and then he shot on in the ground with such a vigor with mantras that Mother Ganga came out from the ground and a stream of Ganga went up and directly fell in the mouth of Bhishma Dev. And then he was very pleased. And then Bhishma Dev told that, I will not die. I will lie here only. Because now it's an inauspicious time. I will not leave my body. When auspicious time comes, I will leave. And I also want to wait till I see that the kingdom is secure. So all the Kauravas, they go away back to the camp. And the Pandavas also return. And meanwhile, Bhishma Dev is lying there waiting for the battle, outcome of the battle, and also waiting for the auspicious time for him to pass. So in the beginning of the class, we were mentioning that how Bhishma Dev is seen here as a great devotee, yet he is fighting against whom? The Pandavas. In fact, Bhishma is also one of the 12 Mahajans. So one can ask a question that how can we understand that Bhishma is a devotee? That's the first question. And second is, how can we then understand that he participated against the devotees? So there are many answers which are given in the Shastra for this. One answer comes in the purport of Srila Prabhupada. Prabhupada mentions about how Bhishma Dev never missed any chance to glorify Krishna in his life. So one chance he got was during the Rajasuya Yajna of Yudhishthira Maharaj. So Yudhishthira Maharaj Rajasuya Yajna was going on, the time came when they had to decide who is going to be the president of the assembly, who has to be worshipped first, Agra Puja. Well, everyone was thinking whom will worship first. It was Bhishma who spoke up and he proclaimed that why do we have a doubt about who should be worshipped? We have Krishna with us. Krishna is Supreme Personality of Godhead. So there should not be any doubt in anyone's mind. We should worship Krishna as Agrani in the puja. So when he spoke those lines, it is mentioned, many people were not happy with those lines, but especially two people rejected and came up with different solutions. And these two were Shishupal and Dantavakra. And they openly challenged Bhishma Dev that he was doing wrong, that why they choose Krishna. Krishna is, we do not know who this person is, you know. So that time Bhishma Dev became very angry on Shishupal and Dantavakra and he loudly shouted on them and told them that you don't know about Krishna. Krishna is the only person in the whole universe who has a spotless character. Bhishma is a Mahajan, plus he is such a big grandsire of the whole Kuru dynasty. When he speaks, it has a weightage. And then he told, who this Krishna is? Krishna, when he was a young boy, he was surrounded by young girls. in Vrindavan, but yet he was never disturbed, agitated. Never in his heart was any sense gratification which arose in his heart. And Bhishma said, I myself am a lifelong brahmachari. In that situation, I will be disturbed. But Krishna did not disturb. That is his spotless character. So when Bhishma gave recommendation, everyone had to keep quiet. And all then accepted Krishna as agrani in puja, and they worship Krishna in the Rajasuya. So this is how we can see that Bhishma, amidst all doubts and problems, he came out and he declared that Krishna is Supreme Personality of Godhead and he has to be worshipped. Now it is also mentioned, I was reading an article of Ravindra Swarup Prabhu. It came in Back to Godhead magazine long back. And Ravindra Swarup Prabhu mentions, he writes an article on Bhishma Dev. And he mentions that someone may externally, a person who is a non-devotee may think that who really Bhishma Dev is? Maybe Bhishma Dev became confused in his time. Bhishma Dev was confused between two dharmas he was having. The first dharma is Kshatriya dharma, which is a temporary dharma, but he was confused that he had to fight for Duryodhan. And the other dharma is as a devotee. And he's a devotee, he should be supporting devotees. So he was mentioning, people may think that in confusion of these two dharmas, Bhishma Dev made a mistake and choose a temporary dharma of a Kshatriya and fought against the Pandavas. But then he mentions, Ravindra Swarup writes in the article that actually that was not the real reason. Bhishma did not make a mistake. Krishna wanted to fulfill two major purposes through Bhishma, and that was the reason why Bhishma acted in that way. So there are two reasons for that. The first is external and the other is the internal. The external reason is mentioned that Krishna wanted to give Kauravas every possible advantage on the battlefield. He wanted to give Kauravas full advantage and fully qualified leaders on their side. And then, when they are defeated, and throughout the history it will be known that even if a wicked person, no matter how strong he is, if he comes against devotees, he will be destroyed. So that was the external reason why Krishna kept Bhishma Dev, the most powerful warrior in the whole battle of Kurukshetra, on the side of Duryodhan. So that was the external reason. One time one guest came to meet Srila Prabhupada, and he asked a question to Prabhupada, that why Bhishma fought against Pandavas? He was a devotee. And Srila Prabhupada said in a very jovial mood, because he wanted to be killed by devotees. So this guest was not a devotee, so he could not understand what kind of this answer is, they don't have, killed by devotee. So Prabhupada came to know that this person has to be answered a little more nicely. So he said, morally, Bhishma was thinking that anyhow, Pandavas are going to be winning. They will be victorious definitely for any sake. Whether I am there on their side or some other side. My participating in the battle on any side will not make a difference on Pandava's victory because Krishna is there. So now I have to decide where to fight. But I will fight because I am a Kshatriya. So he decided that throughout my life I lived in Hastinapur. And it looks like for many years Dhritarashtra, he took care of him, maintained me. And that Duryodhan, who is his son, he is supposed to be the next king. So when morally people see that I made a mistake of leaving the people who are maintaining me and going and participating in the battle with people who are against them, so that will not be good. So to morally keep everything intact, Prabhupada mentioned to this guest that Bhishma Dev, he participated on the battlefield in one side of Duryodhan. So the question may be raised, well then okay, it is agreed that for preaching purpose, Bhishma was on the side of Duryodhan. But then Bhishma was shooting arrows on Pandavas, is it not? And Bhishma was also shooting arrows on Krishna. Krishna was also getting wounded. So it is mentioned that, Srila Prabhupada says in another conversation, that Krishna consciousness is not stereotyped. One may think Krishna consciousness is very stereotyped, okay, you go like this and offer Krishna something and Krishna will be happy. Sometimes Krishna is happy when something else is offered but out of devotion. In the case of Bhishma, Krishna generally accepts from his devotees roses and he becomes very pleased. But in the case of Bhishma, Krishna was accepting arrows and he was pleased. So his offering was not roses but arrows. But that arrows were as pleasing as roses because the mood was important, the mood of a devotee. And then the internal reason for Bhishma's participation was Bhishma is in the Viryaras, chivalry ras. So his rasa, he is actually in Dasya ras, servitorship, but his secondary rasa is Virya. And to fulfill the exchange of rasa, Bhishma, if he has to fight with Krishna, has to be on the opposite side. He can't be on the side of Krishna. So the internal reason was the exchange of rasas between Lord and his devotees. So it is mentioned, Srila Prabhupada mentions that so there was no doubt that Krishna, when he was hit by the arrows of Bhishma, even though externally blood was coming out, but Krishna's body is spiritual. There was no blood coming from Krishna's body. But it was a reciprocation to Bhishma's throwing arrows, which were like flowers to Krishna. Krishna was reciprocating by getting blood from his wound. So it is mentioned that by Prabhupada said another purport that Bhishma was actually more fortunate than Arjuna. Why? Because when the battle was going on, Arjuna was behind Krishna. Meanwhile, Bhishma was front, ahead of Krishna and was seeing Krishna throughout the battle. He was having darshan open. He never missed Krishna in his life during those days of battlefield. So in one sense, though Krishna was very, very close to Arjuna, but Bhishma was taking all advantage of seeing Krishna. And it is mentioned that when Bhishma was lying on the battlefield on these arrows, his only meditation was on the form of Krishna on the battlefield of Kurukshetra. So Mahabharata mentions that what Bhishma was meditating. It is mentioned Bhishma was constantly meditating on that form of Krishna which took the chariot wheel and was running towards him to kill him. And the description is given. Generally, our Shringar Darshan is something else. Like we go and see that Krishna, Gopinath is decorated with nice turban, nice flowers, and then nice dhoti, and then Radharani is decorated nicely, Gopalji. So our decoration is a particular decoration. Bhishma's decoration is something else. His Shringar Darshan is not putting a turban and putting flowers. His Shringar Darshan is Krishna on the battlefield. So we'll see what Shringar he wanted Krishna to be in and what he was meditating. It is mentioned, Bhishma was intensely concentrating on every detail of Krishna in the battlefield. He saw how the beautiful flowing black hair of Lord had turned ashen from the dust of the battle. He saw how beads of sweat adorned his face like dew on a blue lotus flower. He saw how red smears of blood from the wounds made by his own arrows enhanced the beauty of transcendental body of Krishna. Bhishma was watching this scene with red spots on Lord's body, with Lord's head fully scattered and Lord having dust all over his body, and he's running to kill Bhishma. So this was his meditation. So basically Bhishma was in the primary rasa of servitorship, but during the battlefield of Kurukshetra, this secondary rasa became very prominent of Virya rasa. And in this Virya rasa, Bhishma was giving pleasure to Krishna. Srila Prabhupada was mentioning in one of his conversations that Bhishma Dev, he was so much meditating on Krishna's form as Partha Sarathi that when he left his body, when Uttarayan came, it is mentioned that Krishna was personally present in front of him. And meditating on Krishna's form, Bhishma Dev, he went to Vaikuntha planet of Partha Sarathi, Prabhupada says. So in this we can see that how Bhishma Dev was not just an ordinary person, he was a great soul, a great devotee who just for Krishna's pleasure fought against the Pandavas to give full glory to Krishna and Krishna's devotees. So in this Bhishma's example stands very strong, very powerful, even today in the history of India and the world. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. So we'll end here. Thank you so much. Granthashrimad Bhagavatam ki jai.